Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
I'm lovely. Welcome to the It Feels Right podcast, because it's been too long and it feels right to be here. And you have a new background because you are in a new house.
That is correct. And I'm not going to lie, in the last two and a half weeks, Robert, I've done several things that feel wrong. And I needed to be on this podcast to make it feel right. And here we are. So yes, in a new house, Robert, as everyone in the world knows, moving is one of the worst things ever. But we're getting through it.
So what has felt wrong? Moving's obviously felt right.
No, the only thing that's the only there's just been multiple things that have felt wrong because we had not done a podcast.
Oh, sure.
But if we had stayed on schedule, then they would
have turned properly and everything.
That's right.
Would be fine.
I mean, as a high end content creator these days, Robert, you know, I gotta. It's the juice in my veins. I need to have it every week, buddy.
You're a pickle influencer. That's what you are.
I'm a real influencer. Let me tell you what, Robert.
Well, we got lots to cover because I feel like a lot's happened. Like we have obviously MLP, but we haven't recorded since after MLP. So we have, you know, MLP wrapped up. We have a couple of tournaments that have wrapped up. We've got new owners that announced an MLP. We have a new league altogether with Vibe. We've got some historic, you know, historically MLP players moving over to Vibe. So there's lots to cover. I don't know if we'll have time to cover it all today, but we will cover as much as we can.
Correct. Yeah. So I think we just obviously jump right into this Vibe situation as we had kind of sprinkled in over the last, I don't even know when it exactly got announced, but just standard PPA players sprinkled in every day or two talking about being submitting
their name for the draft.
Oh, correct. It was just completely standard stuff and standard players. And then all of a sudden we had yesterday and I don't know the guy's name, but a legitimate sports kind of tweeter commenter,
Darren Revelle. Yeah,
there you go. Made a statement that JW Johnson and Dylan Frazier will be submitting their names for the Vibe draft. Well, I mean, if they submit their names, maybe they won't get drafted. I mean, it's just a submission.
I'm just submitting my name.
Absolutely. But definitely very interesting, because Little Birdie, I believe, told us, Robert, that he will not be able for sure to play the MLP events.
That was my big question. It's like, okay, these guys are submitting their names, and we have JW Johnson so far and Dylan Frazier so far from the kind of the MLP pool that just played this last MLP that have submitted their names to the Vibe League draft. That was my big question, is if they play Vibe, will that conflict with playing MLP? And we got confirmation that they will not be able to play MLP. I don't know if that is because dates will be conflicting. I don't know if that's because of the Vibe contract. I don't know why that is, but it's a fact. It's confirmed that JW and Dylan will not be able to play MLP.
Yeah, which is a big deal, which is obviously a really big deal, as you know, more and more teams and team owners come into MLP, already a slight thinness. I would consider it slight, not major, a slight thinness.
Yeah.
With the expansion and more expansion, obviously lots of talent growing in this sport, but to lose two heavy hitters and two, you know, super top heavy men that will not be able to play, and JW Johnson Dylan could very possibly be the one and two players in that draft on the men's side is more than noteworthy.
Oh, absolutely. I think the big question is, you know, I think their announcements, today's the second, hopefully this gets out the third, but yeah, I mean, Vibe is making their announcement what's tomorrow, basically, the start of the, I believe it's the Texas Open PPA in Dallas. So more announcements to come, which is why we will probably record another podcast later this week to kind of dive into that announcement and you know, everything else that's transpired, because we will not be able to cover it all in this episode. But yeah, I think the big question is who else goes, if anybody, and that thinness that we're talking about in the MLP side, especially the expansion from 12 teams to 16 teams, will be even more noticeable on the women's side if any of the top women decide to go the vibe route. So I think that's what most people are keeping their eyes on now is, you know, will you have an Anna Bright? Will you have a Paris Todd make that jump over to vibe? And I think that would be a big punch to MLP. And I think, you know, MLP they've preached openness and, you know, non-exclusivity, let the players play what they want to play. But Adam, at what point does that turn into an issue because you're not able to lock down your top talent
right now?
Yeah.
It's definitely, and I obviously these are both businesses. They want to make money, whether that's right away or at some point. But I think there's always been a slight vibe that the, whatever you want to call them, the PPA crew, the Pickleball Inc. crew.
Is that a pun?
the Pickleball Inc. We'll call it the Pickleball Inc.
There's been a slight vibe.
Yes. No, stop it. Did I say that?
Oh, you said that.
I don't even need to try, Robert.
You can't script this stuff.
I mean, it just happens. My goodness. That it's been, we'll say on a scale of 1 to 10, very, very high on that scale of business, money making. Obviously, they love the sport. It's a great sport. You know, they wouldn't have a business if it weren't for the sport. And I think somewhere on that scale of 1 to 10, you have the APP MLP kind of Steve Kuhn crew, who obviously are running a business and want to make money. But I think to a lot of the people, they would put them a little bit more in the good for the game category. So maybe not all the way at 10 in a business. Maybe it's some balance there. But as you mentioned, Robert, I mean, this is the way the world works. These businesses, these situations, especially fragmented in a lot of things, a lot of times it's a battle until somebody wins. And I think this is just kind of standard business stuff. Does that make sense, Robert?
Yeah, no, it 100% does. It's been a back and forth, like, blow by blow this year, right? Like MLP had a crazy amount of momentum with announcing the LeBron group, the Tom Brady, Kim Kleister's group, like, just, you know, and I think they have one more announcement coming with the last expansion ownership group. And, you know, I expect that'll probably be a big name as well. So I think I expect PPA to do the same thing with Vibe, which, let's be clear, that, you know, Vibe is a PPA entity. You
yes,
know, it's
right,
not, it's
right.
not, it's not the same business. It's a different legal entity, but it is a PPA subsidiary in some form. And I think they're going to have kind of the same rollout of celebrity owners that MLP has, right? And, you know, Tom Dundon has, you know, A-list friends as well, you know, sports star friends. And, you know, if they go the team route like that, and they obviously have a draft, so I'm assuming they're going to have different teams, and the different teams will have different owners. And I can only assume that these owners will also be, you know, high influence, high net worth individuals that have, you know, similar to how MLP has rolled out their ownership. So I think Vibe seems to have come together really quick. You know, I don't know if they threw it together. I don't know how much they've put into it. I don't know what their format's going to be. We'll find out more soon. But it's very clearly, pro pickleball league to compete directly with MLP and to kind of keep their players happy so they're not pissed off, as we've seen with Tyson McGuffin's video, that they can't play MLP. So I'm expecting big money at Vibe. I'm expecting big ownership, and we'll see if that comes to fruition.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, Tyson's the one who made the statement or might have done a video. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but he's just the one that said something. You know, those rumblings were not just him, several of the players. So I think that might be one of the main reasons. You said a couple did. I always also wonder, Robert, why does your lighting seem better than mine?
It's not my lighting. It's just I have a natural glow.
Radiant skin. Okay. Yes, all right. Because I'm looking pretty pale over here, and you're looking pretty Hawaii. And so anyway, but so to kind of fix the issue with not being able to play MLPs, they do their own thing among other reasons. But I also had a little birdie tell me that it was supposed to just be JW and Dylan that are going over, but that seems a little wild to me that just those two, and they would cap it there with no other, you know, maybe a high-end female or two high-end females to kind of jump in with those two. So that would be shocking to me if this is just it. Yeah. But that's kind of how it's understood. And also, I would like to know, and we don't have the full-end information on this, are JW and Dylan going to play APP tournaments? Are they going to go full PPA where they do the Vibe and the PPA tournaments? As of right now, I think all are available to them besides for not being able to play MLP. So, you know, they've done a lot of work to get their rankings where they need to for the new stipends and appearance fees from the APP. But, you know, if PPA makes an offer, I mean, maybe they go full bore PPA with Vibe and PPA combination.
Yeah, well, my understanding right now is that the Vibe League will be tacked on to the existing tournaments. So it'll be either a Thursday or a Sunday.
Oh, I see. So a piggyback situation.
So they'll for sure be playing those six tournaments, whatever they might be. Whether they play more, I'm not sure. I did hear some rumbling that you have to play 8 PPAs if you're going to be in Vibe. So not sure if that's true. If that's okay. True, there's been a lot of speculation and talk and blah, blah, blah.
Of course. But, in just less than 24 hours, I would guess, since that news was announced.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, definitely. I think they're going to make some announcements tomorrow, as you said, the beginning day of that PPA Texas Open. And then also kind of trickle in some more information over the upcoming couple weeks about the exact specifics of Vibe. But obviously a huge, huge situation to monitor as we're moving forward. And they couldn't have started it off with a bigger bang with signing, you know, the top, if not the top two, pretty dang close to it, male players for the MLP.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on the overall – like obviously Vibe for the players in the short term is good because, you know, JW and Dylan wouldn't be going there if it were comparable money to MLP, in my opinion. Only assuming that it has to be significantly better financial option for them to do that versus stay with MLP.
Yeah.
So obviously good for players short term, it seems, because players have options and players will get more money. But in terms of the overall pro landscape, adding one more entity, a new pro league. So now we have the APP, we've got MLP, we've got PPA, we've got Vibe. Like, it's just getting more fragmented. Every little new entity that gets added creates more fragmentation in the sport. So what is your take on, is it good for the pro game in the long run?
Right. And I actually did not play MLP, I did play MLP, but the second we were mathematically eliminated and only played those three matches to start the tournament. So I actually chatted a decent amount with the Noah Rubin player, the pro tennis player that was considering moving to pickleball. And that was one of the main things that he said is, man, I did not know how fragmented it really was. And so I think that it is an issue. I really do, in terms of, you know, like you said, straight up for the players, less so monetarily, but for kind of maybe expediting the process to getting to being more mainstream slash more eyeballs on the sport, even from just a watching standpoint, not just a playing, and some of the, you know, just seeing all of the talent that the game has to offer in the same tournament, I do think that it is probably some form of hindrance to that. So, you know, it's rarely anything is 100% good. The grass is always greener. So I think that, you know, maybe some extra monetary cash in the players' pockets in the short term could possibly delay something bigger later on. I don't know if that's a slight delay, if that's a major delay, exactly what it may be, but that's kind of how it seems to me, Robert.
Yeah. So yeah, more will be announced on the Vibe League in the coming days. So we'll release another podcast shortly hereafter. I am sorry it's been so long since we've had a podcast. It's been entirely too long.
Yeah. We got to get you stateside. That's what needs to happen. This little Hawaii thing is throwing off the rhythm of the timing. And you know, if it
does not feel right,
if it does not feel right, we are not going to record. And it hasn't felt right lately. So fix it, Robert. It's your problem.
Fix it, Robert. Okay, it's done. I'm fixed.
It's done. It's fixed. Hey, we
pods coming regularly.
Yeah, I got a basement and a great guest bedroom. You just pop in and we'll interview some people and have a good old time.
That sounds lovely. Maybe we'll do that. What else we got to cover, Adam?
Okay, so Robert, I've kind of been I don't know, kind of thinking exactly what I want to say about this. So I've had a lot of people ask me why I am not playing anymore. Obviously, I'm, you know, not at the ranking that I was, say, a year or 2 years ago, but I think that I'm still at 100% physically, still very relevant in this game as a pro player. But I definitely have kind of switched my focus towards the second half of my career, because even if I could stay relevant in pickleball, it's only for another year or two, given my age, given the talent coming in. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about just some of the kind of trials and tribulations that go along with being a pro player, and how these guys and gals are really doing it. It's some serious work, Rob. It really is. There's not just physically taxing, it's mentally taxing as well, lots of travel. And so I'm just going to kind of use myself and kind of how I feel about the whole, you know, grind of being a pro player, and maybe some other people will kind of gain some insight into what these guys and girls are going through on maybe not a daily basis, but certainly a weekly basis, playing all these tournaments. You know, it's a little bit embarrassing, some of it. And I was trying to figure out, you know, exactly how to say it. I'm definitely not making, you know, any excuses. I've beat a lot of people in this game, but I've certainly earned my losses along the way. So not trying to chalk it up for that. And also, so I'm disclaiming this big time right now, as you can tell. It really is an awesome, great life. So I don't want people to think I'm just like complaining about how playing pickleball for a living, which is obviously a great situation. So, definitely. So these issues affect all players. I'm talking about kind of pressure, some anxiety, some things that go along with being a pro player, that you really do have the spotlight on you. I mean, it's not the NBA, it's not the NFL, but it's growing. People know who you are, and there's some pressures that go along with that. So obviously, I think that, you know, maybe being in full-fledged pro athlete physical condition could have helped me through some of these situations in these tournaments. And it's certainly different for everyone. I think some people probably go through things worse than I have. Some people are right on the same page, and some people have no idea what I'm talking about because they don't have issues with this kind of stuff. So normally my routine for a tournament, I go a couple days early. There's really no one to really play high level stuff with back home. And that's the same way for a lot of players, Rob. So, you know, just a little extra travel and a little extra time away. I usually have somewhere between 10 and 20 people talk to me about, you know, who am I playing with this weekend? You guys are going to win for sure. You know, you guys are a great team, this and that, whatever. And, you know, this is all individually really minor stuff. But when you throw it in as a total body of work, it starts to affect you a little bit. So 100%. I also think that it's, you know this, Rob, I mean, you made a blog about it. The climb to be a talented player and to climb through the ranks is just quite a bit more enjoyable, in my opinion, than once you kind of get more established. Not that I ever made it to the very top of the game, but I made it pretty high, and I was known as a contender for a lot of these tournaments, specifically in men's doubles. So I think at the end of 2021, that first MLP, Declan, myself, we went 6-1. We won the year in PPA year in championships. We got second in the U.S. Open. So kind of going into 2022, playing APP events, basically it was, if we didn't win, it was a loss. I'm playing with, you know, the best player at that time. And we heard Spencer Smith say it at the Orchard on that PPA tournament. He was playing with Riley. It was a lot of pressure for him because if he loses, it's his fault. He's playing with the best player on the court. So just a few things that kind of start creeping into your mindset and your mental space as you start playing more and more of these tournaments. So usually the day before competition, I start to feel a little odd. Just a little anxiety, kind of mind racing. And I've talked about it with you, Rob. I almost very frequently do not sleep the night before competition. And if it is, it's usually a couple hours. I almost always wake up nauseous, try to force down, you know, 500 or 600 calories because I know I need to. Almost always have diarrhea when I wake up from nerves. And really the process of the tournament, I wake up at about 5:30 or 6. I do a physical routine. I get to the courts early. I warm up. After every single match, I have to do a full clothes change. I'm constantly monitoring my hydration, my food, my electrolytes that I'm putting into my stuff. I'm just usually trying to stop sweating before I get called back to the court. Obviously when you get deeper in the day, there's a little more structure to when you're going on, but that those first handful of rounds, or if you get knocked out to the opportunity bracket early, it's a rough go of it. So, definitely a whole process. It's not just pop in, play your match, chat with your friends, go play another match. There's a big process that goes into it. Occasionally I've even been, before my first round or after my first round, even thrown up, gotten physically sick a few times. And like I said, it's a little odd to talk about and a little embarrassing. I played what was big time tennis for me and never had issues. I've been at the World Series of Poker final table before and never had issues. And now I'm playing, you know, hitting a plastic ball with a composite paddle, and I'm having these real kind of anxiety, performance anxiety issues that go along with it. So,
can you pinpoint any differences between the tennis, the poker, and pickleball that makes pickleball so much more anxiety inducing? Do you feel like it's because the expectations are higher and you built up the reputation of being a top player, and now you're expected to do a certain way at the tournament?
Right. And I came into the sport, whatever, 5 or 6 years ago, and that was my decision. It was like, try to get your name relevant so that you could do something in the sport, because this is a good switch after poker. So I think I put some pressure on myself to commit myself to pickleball in some fashion, whether it's, you know, commentating, coaching, playing. So I don't have another job for this past 5 or 6 years. So I think that is some extra pressure. And the expectations are different. So I think I never really had that as much in the poker. It was more myself, even though I was doing that for a living. But I don't know if maybe it's because there's added physical stress with making it through a tournament. Some maybe those work off of each other where it's more difficult for me. But I mean, I've been trying for, you know, 3 or 4 years to really pinpoint why I struggle with it, and I have yet to be able to do so. So I basically just feel like crap for 3 days, struggle to eat, struggle to have fun. I don't want to go to dinners with friends after. I just want to go. I want to go home and I want to do laundry and I want to go to bed. That's the only thing I want to do. And then I get back from the tournament on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it is, finally start feeling better. I'm not nauseous anymore. Probably cram in 10,000 calories in 2 days. It's just not a particularly healthy cycle is kind of what I'm saying, because, you know, like after you get food poisoning or something and you finally feel better, you're just like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I'm cramming food in after not eating as much as I should throughout the weekend. So it's kind of, and some tournaments are better than others. Some tournaments I feel it less, some tournaments I feel it more, and I obviously have not been able to fully pinpoint it. So just, just a little filibuster there on some of the issues that I know some other pro players have with the sport getting bigger, Robert.
No, 100%. And a lot that you said resonated with me in terms of especially the sleep at tournaments. I sleep horribly. I don't think there's been a night in the last 2 years that I played tournaments where I slept the whole night through, you know, especially when, I don't know if they still release the draws at midnight, because they used to do that before. And I was talking to even Brandon French before we played in Houston and mixed, and he was like, woke up at 2 a.m. So I was playing you, I couldn't sleep. I was like, that's super, like, it's a joke, but it's common. That's real. That exists. That happens a lot for a lot of players and a lot of tournaments. I love that you shared all that, Adam, because it's real. It's a little different than college tennis and, even like kind of semi-pro tennis. This kind of goes back to like the stuff I talk about with senior pros a little bit is, you know, we've got 20-year-olds that are, this is real work. It's real travel. It's very mentally taxing to do this 3-4 days in a row, week after week. And this is how a lot of these up and comers are choosing to make a living. And it's hard, and they need to be rewarded for it. And and I think the more we shine a light on some of the stresses that go into playing full time, then the more people will, you know, one, feel like they're not crazy, because I know you're probably the first person, you know, we talked about it privately. You're really the first person that's talked to me, in terms of another pro player that goes through this. And I know you're not the only one, but you're the one that's been able to share and be open with it. So appreciate that. And, I think, you know, now that you've talked about it a little bit and shared, I think more players will come forward and be like, yeah, dude, this is super stressful. And again, like you said, everybody's going to be at a different level with it, but it's real. The stress, the anxiety, all that stuff is very real.
Once again, it's, you know, not the easiest thing to talk about. I mean, I hit a plastic ball with a composite paddle for a living and make a decent amount of money. You know, it's pretty great, but, you know, just that whole, and individually, a lot of them might not seem like much, but that whole thing, all those things factored into the situation. I have no doubt some other players feel that way, at least to some degree. So always good to, you know, shine a light on stuff that people might be struggling with, or give them a possible reason to maybe say something, or I can talk to them privately and help them out with that, or whatever the case may be. But either way, it's certainly the last, even when I mean, granted, you know, obviously, let's be clear, the talent is huge. And, you know, some of those poor results were a little bit of not being 100% physically, but a lot of that was just, you know, a lot of the people I'm playing these days are better pickleball players than me. That last, even when I was having some pretty good successes, that last year and a half or 2 years, it wasn't always fun. And I just think that some people should know that some of these players have some tournaments that everything's good, but probably have some tournaments where it's borderline fun or not fun. So just wanted to mention that and you know, let everyone know that it's, you know, all not all roses and whatever out there for these pro athletes.
Yeah, and I think the poker versus tennis versus pickleball reference that you made, like singles, especially tennis, like that's what kind of a lot of us came from, playing junior tennis, being, you know, going travel to tournaments, like before college tennis, where college was more of a team, but you're still on the court by yourself. You're still having to figure things out on your own. But a lot of us come from that world. So now in pickleball, where kind of doubles are the primary events, doubles and mixed, you're not just, it's not just you, right? So for me also, I have like some stress and anxiety around performing for my partner and making sure that I don't let them down that day. And there's, you know, even if it's small, like you said, like it adds up. And, you know, especially like, let's say you don't play with somebody, you know, many times and you have an opportunity to play with them. And like you said, with the Spencer Smith thing, it's like, oh, well, if I lose, it's my fault, which is a whole another layer of pressure.
Sure.
So it's like a double-edged sword in terms of pickleball. It's like, you don't want to let these partners down. You want to make sure you can go to the tournament so they're not out of partner, which is a big deal. Like you never had to worry about that in tennis because you don't even play doubles in tennis tournaments. So you have two people you're responsible for and that you need to perform for, and you need to be there for, and you need to be ready to play for. And then also you have singles too, if you play singles, which again is the other edge of the sword, which you're out there all alone and it's a long day and you have grinding points and it gets, it's a physical battle more than anything, physical and mental, more than actual like skill and ability at times towards the end of the day, as you've seen. So there's a lot of layers that people don't really think about. And I think people that just kind of observe pro players at tournaments are probably like, oh, you know, look, they're going out and playing a two game match and coming back, sitting with their friends and hanging out. But it's, you know, looks can be deceiving. It's not so much like that.
Definitely agree with that. And I've even had some, like, I've obviously talked about this with Prof Corinne Carr, and you know, I've even had some, you know, quote unquote, lesser players or someone I never even played with before, just a situation where you should not have any anxiety about it. And there's pressure there because they maybe have never had a partner on your level, and they are expecting, you know, something good to come of it. Maybe a deep run, maybe possibly meddling, something like that. So there's a lot of different ways that these pressures creep in. Say for instance, MLP, the team event, you have three teammates and you have a team owner and a group of people that have invested a pick in you and in money in the team. And you have three other, not just one partner, you have three partners. So it's obviously I love the team aspect of it, and it makes the atmosphere awesome. But at the same time, there's some extra pressures that go into it for that. So I think the looks can be deceiving statement, you know, really, really resonated. And, you know, sometimes my parents always watch me. Sometimes they'll ask, sometimes they know I'm feeling rough, and sometimes they have no idea. And they're like, how'd you feel this weekend? And then we talk about it, because you're just constantly trying to, you know, push it down and perform like, you know, you need to do. So, whether it's obvious or not, there's often a battle going on inside these players, for sure.
Yeah, those are good parents you got, Adam.
No, they're Mama Stone, Papa Stone. They're doing their thing.
Papa Stone crushed it at the Houston APP.
Oh man,
that guy was running all over the place.
I think he slept for 3 days. he'd been retired for a while. He did like 12 hours of work 5 days in a row, not to mention all the lead up. So yeah, he shout out to both of them.
That sounds like you right now, retired for a while, and now you've had to work the past couple of days, and you're stressed. Yeah, you need to sleep.
I know, it's true. It's just
house husband stuff. House husband's hard.
It really is. It really is. I'll tell you what. I mean, she had a flight this morning. She's heading for a funeral. I mean, I gotta toast the pumpkin bread for her. I gotta get her a little coffee. You know, make sure she's all set up. Pregnant lady. I mean, She's not necessarily one to be hangry, but she's been hangry these last couple of weeks. And if I don't have it ready for her, I'm going to pay the price. That's for sure.
I'll tell you, Adam, if I ever wanted or needed a house husband, you'd be my first pick. There's no doubt.
So good. Hey,
if I get toasted pumpkin bread, you're my guy.
Yeah. With a little bit of butter too, you know, you got to have that. I mean, for sure. So, so that definitely, just kind of wanted to mention that. Hopefully, you know, we'll get a little feedback about that, or, you know, someone in the chat saying, "What are you talking about? You're playing pickleball, you idiot." Or maybe someone, you know, private messaging me, and maybe I could be someone to talk to, or maybe have a few pro players come up to me and we can discuss it, and maybe it could get better for them, because I'm retired and that feels right now.
Can we talk about another stress-inducing moment for a pro player?
Sure,
or it should be Travis Rettmeyer throwing 100 candle line against NML.
Yes.
I mean, I get anxiety with that. Maybe Travis just has 100K to throw around. I don't know. But he seems to be throwing it around. Because
sure.
NML, these guys aren't bad pickleball players. These guys are good pickleball players. They're over 5-0 duper, I think.
Yeah, I think it's like 5-0-9 and 18 or something, like 5.18. So
I wouldn't say their favorite. I think it's a pretty even line, to be honest. I think it's going to be pretty close.
Right. Now, and when you're talking about 5-0 players, that is a big difference. But if you had 4-0 players, like adding more of them doesn't really help that much. You know what I'm saying? If you have we'll play you 6-1. Well, that's not really an advantage when you're talking about lower players.
Yeah. Let's get some context around what this is. So
yes, please go.
So NML wrote, as they do, they write kind of opinion pieces on pickleball tournaments and pickleball events, pro pickleball, everything that's happening in the pro pickleball scene. They kind of do an analysis and write on it and throw their opinions out there. And I don't remember exactly what the article was. I think it was talking about MLP something.
I know exactly what it was, because he beat me.
Okay.
So he swept me 4 points in a row to win the Dream Breaker.
Got it.
And Travis shot a message. NML did a MLP recap or whatever of the day, and they didn't mention that he won 4 straight points. And he basically said, "Great journalism. You guys are a joke. Not to mention that I won 4 straight points to seal the Dream Breaker." And here we go. Continue.
Love it. I don't know. Well, first off, I don't know if he's like doing that to troll and like just to be snarky, or if he is actually like upset that they didn't mention it.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
But either way, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
it is. And in his comment, he threw out like, he was like, "Anytime you guys want to play for 100K, let's do it," or something like that, right? And NML was like, their initial reaction was like, "We don't have MLP type money, but we'll keep that in mind moving forward." And then NML comes back and they drop an article that says, "Hey, Travis, we are in for the 100K. Let's put it in an escrow account and play for it. We'll go wherever you are, wherever you want to play." And Travis like, "Sure, St. Pete, let's do it. Let's set the date." So it sounds like it's going to happen. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, that's a lot of money for a pickleball match.
I'll go down there and commentate this thing. It's super exciting.
Oh, I'll go down there and cheer.
Right. And I do think it's super interesting, because these guys are legit. So how big of an advantage is the 2-on-1 going to be? Where are they going to be in the court? How are they going to line it up? Are they both going to try to get in? Are they going to do one up, one back? Like, who knows the optimal strategy in this situation? But man, it's very intriguing. And if they actually stick with this 100K, there is going to be some little tight booty holes and some really tight play out there on this court for that kind of money.
100%. I think so. I play a lot of 2-on-1 here in Hawaii just for good practice. And it's usually with a couple 4-5s. This is where it gets interesting. I don't lose those games, especially early. I haven't lost, but I get tired. I get real tired. After one game, I get real tired.
Yeah.
Because if they play properly, they're moving me around. Because it's like, I've got to tell the story. I've got a buddy out here. A lot of people know him, actually. He plays some PPA tournaments and APPs. His name's Kelson Lyle, K-Dog. We call him K-Dog here on Maui.
I feel like I know him.
I bet you do. He's buddies with Irina.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
But anyways, he's a big wave surfer, great dude. He was telling me this story. I don't know how I got on the story, but I have to say it. So in Maui, we have kind of like on the water, it's called Kihei, Wailea, these little towns. And then up the hill where there's a volcano, it's called Upcountry. It's a little cooler. There's ranches up there. There's a lot of livestock, stuff like that. And there's this ranch. And the other day, Kelson's like, yeah, I know all the cowboys up at the ranch know me. I'm like, why do they know you? He's like, because I killed a deer in my bare hands. I was like, okay, tell me more. He's like, yeah, it was bow hunting and my crossbow got jammed. So he's like, I'm shooting and it just got jammed up. So, I was 20 yards out from this buck. And then he's like, I went back to 100 yards, tried to fix the bow. It wouldn't fix. So he's like, I just watched this deer for a while. My bow wasn't working. And I decided to go up behind it and grab it by the antlers. And I'm like, you decided to sneak up on a buck and grab it by the antlers? Yeah. He was like, yeah, I just jumped on, held him as tight as I could. And he was huge. He was like, it's a big buck. So he's literally just swinging him back and forth with his antlers, trying to shake him off. And Kelton's holding on for dear life with both hands, fingers bloody. And he just holds on until the deer gets tired. So he's just, he's holding on to it. It eventually gets tired and he starts pulling it back by its antlers, taking it. He said he had to go mile and a half back to the ranch house. So he's just like going a couple steps, pulling it. Then the deer holds its ground and then he pulls it a couple more steps and it takes him however long to get back, forever. And he gets back and he's yelling at the house to pull out to bring a knife out. And I don't know how he kills it, but I think he slits its throat or whatever the most humane is. I don't know if that's humane.
Sounds very humane. Yes.
But yeah, so K-Dog just killed a deer with his bare hands.
That, Robert, that's a great story.
But why did I tell it? There was a segue there. There was some kind of relevance.
No, okay. You lost
me. That's K-Dog for you.
But also, and you also told me the K-Dog story about how you were in the car with him. And you were on a kind of a somewhat of a country road.
I wasn't in the car with him, but he told me the day after. Yes. His girlfriend Skylar was in the car with him.
Right. And so he saw there's a deer in the road. And so instead of avoiding it or slowing down, he just pumps the gas, destroys the deer with the car, and then throws the deer in the back of the car and they eat venison for a couple weeks. So,
Correct.
Yeah, it's a special mindset. That's a special mindset, I'll tell you what.
That's just K-Dog.
Just K-Dog. He's just doing his thing.
What were we talking about before? There was some relevance to that.
I don't know.
I knew when I started talking about K-Dog killing a deer with his bare hands, I'd lose it.
But don't you have to, go work or something, Robert? How much time you got?
We got a few minutes here. Anything else we need to cover? It'll kind of last. Oh, we were talking about NML, Rettenmeier.
Yes, money on the line. Yes. So we, it's just phenomenal. Everything about it is phenomenal. From a joke to money and $100,000 in escrow in 48 hours. So it's pretty exciting stuff. And I'm not sure exactly what your segue is, but.
Oh, I kind of remember. Yes, I was talking about I play Kelton, some other guys here two on one sometimes. And so I start off strong, then I get really tired. So if they play, I think they're going to do best 3 out of 5.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Travis is fit. He's in good shape. Yeah. So it might not be such an issue for him as it is me.
Right.
But at the same time, if NML can keep him on court, moving around, running around, it goes to five games. Fifth game, he's going to be tired and there's going to be a lot of money on the line.
Yeah.
It'll be really intriguing to watch, actually. I think more so than any tournament that I've watched recently.
I think Travis and myself, we have a similar body type. So I think he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
elite, physical, professional athlete.
Yeah. Elite, professional athlete. So when you play them, how do they play you? Do they come to the net every time? Or how does it work? They just come in every time. Yeah.
They come in. Well, I return. I always follow it in.
Okay.
If they were smart, they try to just drop me and start moving me around. They try to pass a lot. Mm-hmm. And I usually can cover that decently well, their passing shots. And then I'm in control. If I just get one volley, if I get one volley deep, I know I'm in control.
You're right.
Sure. But if they, like, if they were to drop, call it to my backhand, and one of them comes up, like, that's how they can do it. But like when I play, I just try to blast balls and it usually works.
Yes. Right. No, for sure. I would just be really intrigued to see what two very legitimate players, what exact strategy they would come up with in terms of staying back, coming forward, dinking and dunking, possibly wearing them down. Cause three out of five is a big deal.
Yeah.
And, I don't care if you are in phenomenal shape, when you're playing 2-on-1, it's going to be some form of a factor.
Oh yes, it is. Yeah. They don't, I just wouldn't recommend they just try to hit passing shots. I would drop every ball and just try to move him around the whole time.
Right. Right.
Even if you lose the first game, just wear him down, make it long points, make it. Yeah. Not 1-2 shot rallies.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. And obviously we've had a lot of tournament action over the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to put together a little recap of that for our next episode in the next day or two. And obviously we have the PPA Texas Open coming up this weekend, and then right into Nationals in Indian Wells, which I will not be going to. I will be drinking IPAs and yelling at the screen, hopefully positively, not negatively at that. So definitely we'll get a little bit more into some specifics of the previous tournaments and the preview of Nationals, especially in these next episodes. And hopefully Robert will have some slightly more information about Vibe or possible other players making that leap to the Vibe League. So
Adam, I have an idea.
Oh, please tell me.
And I've tried to do this in the past and it was semi-successful, but people seem to like it a lot.
Okay.
There was I think it was like a Tuesday night pickleball or even maybe a tournament, but I rigged it up to where the feed was streaming on my screen, but I was doing the commentary from home.
Ooh, nice.
So I was kind of like pirating their stream, kind of muting their commentary and talking about the match as, you know, remotely. So I think it would be a lot of fun if we did that together for Nationals or for even just like we do it on a day and for an event to see how it works. Yeah.
And so I love all my colleagues in the commentary booth, but I it would feel right if you and I got on there together. I feel like it would be unstoppable, to be honest.
It would feel very right. For today?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to cut it. I know you got some business to handle, and I got to haul freaking 5 boxes of prof sweaters upstairs. So, you know, just good times, but we must get back on in the next couple of days because there's just too much to talk about, and it feels wrong when I don't see your better lighted and more tan face than mine, which is very sad. But
my face isn't tan, it's just the lighting, trust
that's
me.
That's right. Well, leave a comment below, guys, whatever you're listening, wherever you're listening on. If anybody wants to message me about some of that performance anxiety, I'd love to talk with any of you pro players out there. And until next time, do what feels right, guys.
Later.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.